Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome back. 38 past the hour at Faith Radio. Did you see the video of the childish behavior in the House of Representatives yesterday? It centered around gun control legislation. And some House members, well, they acted more like two-year-olds than government leaders. Here to help us cut through the rhetoric and understand the real issues at hand is author and Christian worldview expert Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Meyer. Thank you for having me on.
So for those who didn't see the video, can you explain what took place on the floor of the House of Representatives?
Well, you know, what took place was pathetic and ironic and really unlawful because you've got Democrats that ostensibly are the party of the higher ground, and they're fighting law. One of the ironic things, John Lewis, who in the 60s, I'm sure everybody knows, everybody's heard this, but he was a man who marched with Dr. King. He organized the Nashville sit-ins during the Civil Rights Movement, and by age 24 had been arrested 23 times in his quest to secure civil rights for Black Americans. Now, here's the irony. In the 60s, John Lewis was fighting for the constitutional rights of a certain segment of people. In the 21st century, he's fighting against the constitutional rights of Americans, i.e. the Second Amendment right to bear arms, and really it's self-defense. But it was deplorable. It reminded me of some of the pandemonium and chaos that goes on in European countries that have no moral common ground, which actually is the case for America. We've lost our moral common ground, and we've become what Franklin warned against. We're dozens of squabbling factions. That's among the thoughts that went through my mind as I watched all that video play out.
I was surprised fisticuffs didn't break out. I mean,
we were right there. Hey, let me give you a quote. P.J. O'Rourke, who is a conservative columnist who he's conservative. I'm sorry. He's sort of in recent weeks intimated that he wants to support Hillary Clinton. But P.J. O'Rourke said this. Listen to this quote. Quote, at the core of liberalism is the spoiled child, miserable, spoiled, as all spoiled children are, unsatisfied, demanding, ill-disciplined, despotic, and useless. Liberalism is the philosophy of sniveling brats. End of quote. Now, them's harsh words, I'll grant you, but that's liberalism. I mean, really, it's like it doesn't matter that there's due process. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. Doggone it, we will get our way, and if we don't, we'll put on a pout.
Well, you know, I have to respect Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, who I felt the face of this incredible, you know, near riot, was able to remain calm. Ask for order in the House, you know, maintain his decorum. I thought he looked like a true statesman with all of these crazies around him, you know, sitting on the floor.
Well, he was the adult in a room full of kindergartners.
I mean, really.
And I know in recent weeks, Paul Ryan has not been the favorite of conservatives because, you know, there's been his reticence to endorse Donald Trump, and then he did, and then he sort of equivocated. But I want to say he redeemed himself yesterday. He was the voice of reason and the model of maturity in a room full of absolutely unacceptable behavior. And for those listening whose Democrat representatives were among the slumber party / sit-in, then pandemonium, please, for God and country, see to it that those people don't get reelected. They are not fit to lead this great nation.
Oh, man. Those are some strong, fighting words from Alex McFarland. Now, the whole issue here is Democrats are really reacting to the Orlando shooting, but they're reacting in a knee-jerk fashion. They're pushing for strict gun control measures. As President Obama's former chief of staff once said, you never want to let a good crisis go to waste. Can you explain what the Democrats want and why the Republicans say they're ignoring the root of the problem?
Well, the Orlando shooting and all of the other tragic shedding of American blood that we seem to witness on a very regular basis, it's not about law-abiding citizens having the ability to defend themselves. This is not about guns. It's not about the way that guns are sold and handgun permits are given out. This is about several things. For one thing, it's about the fact that we're a culture that doesn't recognize the sanctity of human life. It's a culture that doesn't have a moral foundation on which to stand. In our quest to be lawless and licentious and just be able to do anything we want, we've had to abolish belief in God and morality. But when you for decades tell people that there is no objective moral code, they're going to act immorally. But it's also about our immigration process. It's about letting known terrorists come in. And it's, you know, Bill, it's one thing when those that mean us ill slip in under the radar and terrorists infiltrate a nation. That's one thing. But it's another thing when you've got a president who has consistently and vehemently worked to open the doors for terrorists. January of 2016, the FBI said of these 10,000 Syrian refugees that are being forcibly, or there was an attempt to forcibly put them in communities around America, the FBI told this administration that not only could they not be vetted, not only were terrorists getting in to America, the FBI told this administration that they felt this was an ISIS plot to, quote, sneak terrorists into Western nations.
Oh, man. I had no idea the FBI had made that kind of statement.
Yeah, so when you've got your best intel telling you, I mean, it's like, you know, if you smoke a carton of cigarettes a day and, you know, drink and you're abusing your body and your doctors tell you, look, the course you're on is going to be your downfall, and you say, oh, who is he? He's a doctor. I'm going to do what I want. You know, don't blame the doctor when you wind up with a terminal condition. And that's America. My goodness. Did you, like myself, did you just groan? Okay, yesterday when the U.S. Supreme Court for once made a good decision, I mean, I know it was a 4-4 deadlock, but I've got to unpack something here. In Texas, a judge says, look, the federal government is not going to force us to take refugees that are terrorists, illegals. You can't do that. You just can't, by divine fiat, tell us that we're going to take on these people and these expenses. So the Supreme Court heard the case. Supreme Court says we're not going to make a decision, but that in itself effectively stopped Obama's executive order that the refugees be assimilated in. Now, Obama says, well, the Supreme Court has halted us becoming the nation we aspire to be. Well, speak for yourself, pal. The nation maybe you aspire America to be, a place that has open borders, no vetting process, and allows Islamic terrorists. And of the 10,000 Syrian refugees, seriously, how many were Christians? Like two. I'm serious. The other thing I would say is I was listening to NPR, that paragon of constitutional truth, not. And they were saying that, well, this Texas judge has just effectively made law. That's not right. No, it wasn't that. It was that a Texas judge was merely trying to protect the interests of American citizens. What a novel idea. And to put a roadblock against an executive order that wasn't a law, but was not only infringing on the rights of citizens, but compromising their safety. It's a weird time, Bill, isn't it?
It is, and I really applaud, at least in this particular decision, the Supreme Court, although it was a tie, as you said, kicks it back to the lower court and that ruling stands. So that is certainly encouraging news from yesterday's Supreme Court decision. Yeah. We're talking to Alex McFarland, who never is unwilling to speak his mind. It's 48 minutes past the hour. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Faith Radio.
I'm Ryan Thomas. Join me Saturday mornings at 9 on the Twin Cities Faith Radio.
Hey! Got to shout when you know the weekend is here. It's 50 minutes past the hour. This is Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with my friend Alex McFarland. Alex, this whole brouhaha over gun control really ignores the heart of the issue, as we both know, and that's Islamic extremism. And when the sort of extremism hits home, as it did in Orlando and San Bernardino, and we pray it doesn't occur again, but I think many Americans try to reconcile President Obama's claims that Islam is a religion of peace with the violent extremism that we're seeing both in the Middle East and now, of course, here on our shores. I know you have studied world religions as part of your work as a Christian apologist. Give us a little bit of background on the history of Islam and why there are such different interpretations of the Quran.
That's a great question. Yeah, thanks very much. Do you know what? Islam started around 622. Muhammad was born in 571 and lived part of his childhood in a Roman Catholic orphanage, and then later was raised by an uncle named Waraka ibn Nawfal. I'm sure my southern pronunciation of that is probably not very accurate, but at any rate, what's interesting, this is, I think, very fascinating theologically, because, Islam is a monotheistic religion. They pride themselves on believing in one God, and we Christians that believe God has revealed himself as Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, that's Deuteronomy 6, but Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are monotheists. We believe in one God, but that God has revealed himself as a triune God, triunity. Well, Muhammad grew up under the tutelage of an uncle who was part of a group that was kind of one of the last enclaves of something called Nestorianism that were vehement deniers of the Trinity. And the early church condemned Nestorius as a heretic. And so here's the thing. You've got a young man that, what he knows of Christianity, he lived part of his life in an orphanage and was kicked out. He goes to live with this uncle who sort of drills into him that Christians are bad, Christians are false teachers, and the Trinity is wrong, and there's one God. So it's interesting because you and I both know our formative experiences as we grow up deeply, deeply imprint themselves on us. So Mecca is a trade route. There's a lot of, people coming and going. There are many Jews and Christians in Mecca. And so I think it's very fascinating to look at some of the history, socially and theologically, behind Islam. Because fast forward to 100 years ago, Bill, I've got some world religions books from the early 20th century, when political correctness really didn't skew the way we do history. And one book I've got by a man named Samuel Braden says this, that Islam was the only world religion that was started simply to be in conscious opposition to Christianity.
Fascinating. I had no idea.
Now, that's from 100 years ago, that it was a religion started simply to be in conscious opposition to Christianity. Now, I know that's kind of a long answer to what you asked, but when two things that I think every thinking person has to pause to consider, we're told that Islam is a religion of peace. And oh my goodness, when the shooter's transcript, as everybody knows, Now, listen, folks, this is why you really have to take it on yourself. You have to take the initiative to think, okay, the transcript of the Orlando shooter, Omar Mateen, was redacted and scrubbed of all references to Islam, even though he pledged, may Allah accept my soul. And I mean, it was overtly, explicitly Islamic, his 911 call. So they scrub it of references to Islam because we've got to maintain this narrative that Islam is a religion of peace, even though we all know differently. But then when they get called on that, they release ostensibly the unedited transcript. But did you notice all references to Allah are changed to God?
I did not notice.
When you read Omar Mateen's transcript online, and it'll say God, that wasn't what he said. He said Allah. So why does this administration, and look, Bill, I'm a preacher. My calling is to tell people about Jesus. And I have people who write me, and they're like, Alex, stay on point, kid. You're an evangelist. You're not a politician. I get it. But why does this administration feel like they have to control what you're allowed to know and how you're allowed to think? That imperils our democracy. We have to stand against it, my friends.
Alex has a new book out. It's called Stand Strong America. You can learn more about that at alexmcfarland.com. Alex, thanks once again for your insight and for not pulling any punches when it comes to speaking the truth. And I appreciate the
God
fact that
you... God bless you. You're so kind to allow me to be on.
Oh, you're a good brother. 56 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Have a great weekend, Alex. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.